Last month, a student at Everett's Cascade High School filed a federal lawsuit against the Everett Public Schools. Michael Leal had been handing out Christian literature and preaching on campus. The school worried that Leal's evangelizing might offend other students, so Leal was suspended more than once. Michael Leal says the school's actions violated his First Amendment right to free speech. He's being represented by the California-based Pacific Justice Institute. The organization encourages students to reclaim their schools through evangelizing.
Unfortunately, this school district has responded in a very draconian way. When a student is excited about their faith, the government has no business ever, particularly in a public school, to outright censor and silence that student because of his faith and expressing that faith.
That's Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute. He says kids talk about a lot of stuff at school. He thinks the Cascade High School administration unfairly singled out religious speech for punishment. But Everett School District Attorney Michael Patterson says this case is not about free speech.
We have policies that, you know, respect the First Amendment issues, but when you are disruptive and you're not doing it in accordance with the policies, then we have a right to stop it and to control it.
What are the limits of free speech when it comes to religious expression in public schools? Charles Haynes is director of the Religious Freedom Center of the Newseum in Washington, D.C. Haynes says this case is not unique.
Students across the country are testing the limits of their free speech and their religious liberty in public schools. And so we have quite a few examples right now across the country of kids speaking up, saying what they believe, and schools trying to deal with it. We're actually doing much better than we were, say, 10, 20 years ago. I think most public schools understand now that students do have religious liberty rights and they do need to be protected. Teachers can talk about religion when they're teaching it academically in the classroom. So we have a new idea of how religion does have a role in public schools under the First Amendment that I think can get beyond a lot of these fights.
What are guidelines when it comes to religion in our public schools?
Well, the most important guideline is that the government has to remain neutral toward religion in public schools under the First Amendment. That means teachers and administrators, they can't take sides in religion. But students, on the other hand, are protected by the free speech and free exercise of religion clauses to express their faith within limits. I mean, they have the freedom to do so, but of course the public school isn't the public square, so they don't have the full freedom that they may have outside the school.
Well, Charles Haynes, if these rules are so clear-cut, why is this a recurring issue around the country?
Well, there are gray areas. For example, a student may have the right to distribute religious literature in a public school. The courts have recognized that. But the school has the right to put some time, place, and manner restrictions on that distribution.
And sometimes that line is drawn in the wrong place?
It's sometimes drawn in the wrong place. I think many public school administrators overreact to student religious expression, thinking, well, religion shouldn't be allowed here or it offends other people, but that's not good enough. Religious expression by students is allowed in a public school unless it causes some substantial disruption, and that's a pretty high bar, and that sometimes has to be tested. So I think that's what's happened here, is if a student is for example, shouting through a megaphone his faith at a pep rally, something like that is going on, then the question is that causing a substantial disruption? And there can be a disagreement about that. The school can say, yes, it's offending people, it's disrupting this event. Others would say, no, you're allowing other kids to shout at the pep rally. You've got to allow him. You can't censor it because you don't like the content of his speech. So that's a gray area. We know he has the right to express his faith, but does he have the right to express it loudly on a megaphone at a school event? When he's giving out materials to other students in the school, he may have the right to do that, and we know that, and the school probably knows that too. But the school wants to restrict what kinds of materials he gives out. They want it, as I understand it, they want it to be materials that he produced himself rather than, you know, tracks that he gets or booklets he gets from somewhere else. Well, I'm not sure they can do that, but they can test that. They can say, well, this is the line we draw.
I'm speaking with Charles Haynes. He's director of the Religious Freedom Education Project at the Newseum in Washington, D.C., and he writes and speaks extensively about religious liberty and religion in American public life. The Pacific Justice Institute, which is the organization representing Michael Leal of Cascade High School, has published documents that encourage the kind of behavior that got this student in Everett in trouble in the first place. Are there other organizations like PJI that are actually trying to create legal cases like this?
Yes. I mean, there are advocacy groups on both sides of this issue that are watchdogs, really, on what's going on in public schools. And I think particularly among conservative Christian organizations, there's a concern that public schools are not protecting the rights of students, particularly evangelical students, to express themselves during the school day. And they're telling students, you have certain rights, and here's what you do to claim those rights.
Aren't there also atheist organizations that are pushing from the other side?
Yes, there are atheist organizations that are pushing very hard from the other side. They're concerned that public schools have too much religious expression, and they don't want schools to allow students to express their faith as much as the other side does. So there is this fight going on in the culture wars on both sides.
So what have you, in your capacity, been doing to work with school districts to help them sort of wade through these wars? Because it seems pretty sticky.
Well, the good news is that over the last number of years, we've reached agreement right to left on a good many issues of how students should be protected to practice their religion in public schools. So we have consensus guidelines that many conservative and liberal groups have supported. I think that if schools look at those national guidelines and see that there's a consensus and have policies that reflect them, they won't have as many of these fights. The most important thing that any school district can do is to have a good, strong policy that's supported by the community. Bring in people from different sides, parents and others, and have them work together, religious leaders, and have them work together on a policy that everyone can agree on. The law is pretty clear on a lot of these issues, and the First Amendment is pretty clear. But unless that local policy is there, unless the community supports it, we're going to keep having these fights.
Is that something that you need to do before it escalates to the point of a legal case like the one we're seeing in Everett, Washington?
Yes. Well, as they say, the time to buy the fire engine is before the fire. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of school districts wait until they have a crisis or a fight or a conflict, and then they discover they're not really prepared. They don't have policies or guidelines. So they need to do this now, be proactive if they don't have a fight. And that way they're either going to keep it from happening, or when it does happen, they're going to have the trust of the community.
Because we have this plethora of lawsuits from both sides of the issue, I wonder, are they making legal changes? You talk about policy changes and things that people can agree on, but are we actually seeing changes in our legal code as it pertains to free speech in public schools when it comes to religion?
Well, most of these fights don't go to the courts. They're settled outside the courts. And so, but that does change things. It changes the behavior of people in the schools, and it sometimes changes the behavior of students. So they come to an agreement that this is already settled law, and this is what we should do. You know, public schools need to live up to the First Amendment. It's not enough to say, you know, that we try to have First Amendment rights protect them. We have to have policies that really protect student rights and articulate them for the community. The public school is really the model for the public square. And if we can't get religion right in the public schools, we're not going to get it right in the public square.
Charles Haynes directs the Religious Freedom Center of the Newseum in Washington, D.C.